Well, we are going to spend time in God's Word today concerning people. Dun, 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 dun. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2. There are all kinds of people on this earth. All kinds. Not all of them have two legs either. You know, I said two-legged people, but I guess there are people without two legs. So anyway, but there are all kinds of people on the earth. There are various classifications of people. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 2. In race, there are white people, black people, red people, yellow people. There's all different types of people. You know, some got slanty eyes, some got round eyes, some got blue eyes, some got brown eyes. But all different types of people, different races. And countries, there's Americans, Italians, Englishmen, Irishmen. You know, you pick a country, there's somebody who lives there. Right? Well, you know, people are categorized by what country they live in. Gender, you got male and female, and nowadays they try to do the in-between. Whatever's going on there. In sexual orientation, a big thing in these days and times, you got heterosexual, homosexual, lesbian, and the trans thing, or they're in between again. Not all of them work for the way God says, but people are classified by that. People are classified by culture. Well, they consider themselves, I'm an Italian, I'm of Italian background, or Irish, I'm of Irish background. Some people don't want to say their background, but they have backgrounds. So people are a lot of times classified by that. How about height? Hey, that guy's really short. That guy's really tall. How about weight? He's pretty fat. He's pretty skinny, you know. How about hair? Some have it tall. Some don't have it at all. Right? Hey, that guy, he was a bald guy. You know, classified by his lack of hair, maybe. Whatever. Age, you know, we got the children. We got adults, and we got elderly, and we got really elderly. A person really, really old. You know, just different classifications of what people are in. You got cool and not cool, right? In school, you got your jocks, you got your nerds. I don't know all the different classifications. Amanda probably knows them. You know, how many classifications? Well, you got your jocks, nerds, what else?
There's goth.
Who?
Goth, or like emo or whatever.
Goth.
Goth. Okay.
And there's the drama nerds, which are like the sort of theater
band. Drama nerds?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's the band geeks.
Band geeks.
And that's really it.
Mm-hmm. How about, aren't there any like druggies, whatever they call them? What do they call them?
Then there's also like the trans people.
The trans?
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Yeah, there's all different classifications. And people somehow or another try to identify themselves in something. You know, like try to put themselves in there. We also have clubs and organizations, you know, Belmar Fishing Club, you know, the women's club, the men's club, bowling clubs, all kinds of clubs, fan clubs. But there's all kinds of organizations, and whether it be business stuff or social stuff, there's political parties. You know, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm an independent, I'm a nothing, I'm a, you know, all the different things that go on. Plenty of classifications. Well, there's one thing that some people on this earth are part of in a classification that trumps all, and that is God's people. God's people are the best people on earth. There is no other club better than God's people. There is no other classification better than God's classification, being in God's family. And we're going to see a little bit of that in 1 Peter chapter 2. Being a son of God or a daughter of God trumps all other categories. So chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now, the book of Peter was written to Judeans, which is the Old Testament believers, who had gotten born again of God's Spirit. So they're in the Church of God, they're in the New Testament administration of grace, but their background was Judean. And the there's a great explanation of this in the Working Translation concerning the background of the who Peter was writing to here. But I think it's really wonderful. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Let's back up to verse 6, how that all happened. That's an acceptance of Christ. Verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe and believe, he is precious. But unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So it's the Jesus Christ is the head, and he's the stone. He's a stumbling block to those who don't believe, and he's the savior of those who do. So let's go back a little bit to chapter 1 of 1 Peter while we're in this book. We are in the biggest, greatest group there is. None better. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the knowledge of the foreknowledge of God." So we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, "through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." How many fishing clubs around the world do you think have God's grace given to them and walk in the peace of God? You know what I mean? Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for other people."
No.
No? For you. You're in the body of Christ, you're getting it. I mean, that's a pretty good group to be in. Verse 5, "Who are kept by the power of God through believing unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So we are kept by God's power. Boy, that's a privilege. Really a privilege. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. As we know, this is a scripture that shows us how to get in the group, into the family of God. Romans chapter 10. I'm sure most of you have it memorized. Romans chapter 10. So this is how we get into the body of Christ. There aren't a whole lot of restrictions. There's one thing. Verse 9 says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It doesn't get any easier than that. There's no dues, no money to that you have to do. There's no sign-up sheet. There's no a board approval. Amazing how easy it is to get into the to become a child of God. Well, let's go back a couple books to chapters to Romans chapter 8. But we are in the greatest group of people ever assembled. It's amazing. Just because we got born again of God's Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Abba is an Aramaic word for father. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So we are heirs of God. This part of this being, one of the privileges of being in this group, special group, is that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. There is this guy that, he's no longer alive, he died. he used to install gutters on our houses years ago, and he used to say, "Boy, I wish I was your father's son." You know, just because, you know, we were building some houses, and I guess we looked like we had money. He kept saying it all the time. "Oh, I wish I was your father's son." But we are, we got the greatest father ever, I mean. And there's no exclusion. You know, it's not a birthright. It's something we choose to do. We accept Jesus Christ, and we get part of the family of God. Let's look at verse 31. But how big and how great this is, and we are part of that. Verse 31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So we're in a club, a group of people that God is actually for us. He's on our side. And boy, there are a lot of records in the Old Testament where the children of Israel needed help, and they looked to God for help. And they were disappointed every single time. Now, anyway, the funny ways that God chooses to deliver people, you know? The funny ways. And he, but he always does. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That makes us pretty important, pretty special, that God would give his only son just for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is not properly supplied. God that justifieth? Question. Who is he that condemneth? Christ that dieth? Question. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? A lot of great questions here. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Boy, I mean, that's just incredible. And we are the in that group of people that can't be separated from the love of God. Better than any fishing club you can ever get into, or a bowling club. You know what I mean? I mean, just think of it. The greatest group of people on earth at any time. Incredible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know these are very familiar scriptures to us, and great to revel in them and be reminded of them. You know, sometimes people yearn to be a part of a certain group. if I could just be a senator in the United States Senate, or I'd like to be the Secretary of State, or I'd like to do this or that. You know, nothing wrong with that, but there are groups that are better than being a senator. There that's for sure. I belong into a very special group. It's actually a pretty large group around the world. It's called No Funny Group. I've been told I belong in it. So I was given an honorary membership. But it doesn't say lifetime, so something might change. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We heard this in manifestation, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Every member in the body of Christ, every believer, is a member in particular. There's not a replacement. There's no other person that takes your spot. You're the only you in the body of Christ. Now that's pretty special. I don't know any group that's like that. And then back up to verse 18. But now hath God set the members, which refers to the body of Christ, and we are a part of that body of Christ, set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That means at one point in your life, God figured out where you're going to be in the body of Christ. He actually spent some time thinking about you and where he's going to put you. I mean, that's pretty cool. We are special in God's sight. We are loved in his sight. 1 John chapter 1. So when we sing about the family of God, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. It's a big family and a great family. There's none to be compared to. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And one of the benefits is it's an everlasting family. It's a family that will never end. Hopefully we like each other. Because we're stuck with each other. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you think of any better fellowship to be fellowshipping with? You know, God Almighty, his Son, Jesus Christ. There's I'm sure most of you have seen it. There's a picture of, I guess from the 60s, of four guys in Las Vegas. They called them a Rat Pack. Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis. I don't remember the other guys. But, you know, they made it, the world tried to make it look like it was like this cool group, you know. And those guys were in it for whatever reason. But they called them Rat Pack. So it's a group. We're not fellowshipping with them. I think they're all dead. But we are fellowshipping, we are with God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. What a pack to be in, right? Really incredible. Chapter 3, verse 1. And what's really nice is we're fellowshipping with God and he really loves us. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that incredible? Well, we're not going to go there, but there's a scripture in Numbers 23. It's about when the children of Israel, they had gotten out of Egypt. They were walking through the wilderness towards the promised land, and they were going through some land, and there was a king, Balak, who didn't want Israel to pass through, didn't like him. So he got this guy, Balaam, who was a prophet, but he wasn't an Israelite, to try to curse them, as they go by. So he goes to get Balaam to do it, and Balaam says, well, I'll see what God says. And he comes back and says, he wants me to bless him, not curse him. So the Balak tried to offer him some more money and this and that, and entreat him, you know, just curse him. And he, you know, he said, I'm going to do what God says to do. And so he did not curse him. But the thing is it says there was no iniquity seen in Israel. God did not see the iniquity of Israel. And they were protected by God Almighty. Even though, from the census point of view, they did some pretty screwy things and disobeyed God many a time. But yet, in God's sight, they were so precious, there's no way he would let an unbeliever curse them. Isn't that amazing? What a group to be a part. And that was in the Old Testament, before Holy Spirit was available by birth. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Just look at, we have something even better and bigger than that. Well, it's the same God taking care of us, but we've been, one of the things that he's done for his people in this day and time is that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that every person that's born again has been removed from the power of darkness, the operative influences of the devil. The devil literally has no grip on our lives if we stand on what the Word says. And that's a pretty good situation to be in. I don't know any political party that's like that, that's so well protected by God that no dirt can be thrown on them. You know what I mean? What a group to be a part of. So when God refers to us as his family, as his people, it's a great, great, great group to be a part of. And we are a part of that. And we should never allow that to be diminished in our thinking that, hey, you know, it's okay. And I was going to read it, but we're not going to. But the first two chapters of Ephesians, I mean, just one verse after another of what God has done for his people and how he's taken care of them and the great things that all of us have and have been given. Again, I don't know any group that's got all these great privileges. Access to God and Spirit of God, and power of God. I don't know any group like that. And there's nothing like being around God's people. You know, I'm sure we're involved with PTA or whatever they call it now. You know, different groups of things. And I've been involved with different things, you know, for sports and stuff with kids. And it's never the same as being around God's people. And seeing people with the love of God, it's never the same. And that's just from the surface. Let alone getting behind the scenes and see what goes on. So anyway, hats off to all of us. We got into the greatest group of people this side of heaven on earth. So we've heard of the greatest show on earth, but this is the greatest group of people on earth. So.